0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on an incredibly busy day across Scottish football. Jota comes and Kyogo goes as Celtic bring back the Portuguese winger but say goodbye to their top striker. Stuart Kettlewell sensationally quits as Motherwell manager whilst the team sit fifth in the league. And Rangers launch an appeal against the red card shown to Mohamed Diomande in yesterday's rare away win at Tannadice. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Simon Donnelly and Roger Hanna.
Well, I had earmarked a quiet Monday to pick up what's left of my garden fence.
Yep.
After the storm at the weekend, however, I didn't even get into the garden. We've got Jota back in town, Stuart Kettlewell out of town, Cyril Dessers saying he's definitely staying in town. And we wait to see how Mohamed Diomande gets on with his red card appeal. I suspect Rangers might have a bit of joy.
I mean, this is rare territory for you, Simon Donnelly, a Monday,
Monday
night.
And yeah,
Mondays are good because you get to reflect on the weekend's action.
Reaction.
But it's not often we get a Monday where someone like Jota comes back, someone like Kyogo goes, and then a manager in the top flight quits whilst the team sits in fifth. We've almost blown the weekend's action out of the water within the space of a few hours.
Incredible, incredible. Gordon, I sat here with you last Tuesday. If you'd told me almost a week on that Kyogo would have moved on and Jota would be back, I would have found it hard to believe you. And that's from a guy who works at Celtic TV and covers most of the games. It's been a hell of a few days, and obviously adding to that, Motherwell have lost their manager tonight. There's no short subjects here that we can talk about tonight.
When you say you weren't with Celtic, that wasn't you up fixing the cladding, was it?
It wasn't, no. I'm scared
he broke
of
heights.
I'm scared of heights.
He broke it, wanted the day off.
I wouldn't fancy that job. Do you see them?
Absolutely not. I don't mind heights.
Yeah.
I quite like it better than that.
I stayed in the house on Friday. I lost my fence as well.
Yep.
So, yeah, a bit of repair work needed there as
good.
Well,
if anyone wants to give fence or garden furniture updates, they can do, but I suspect we've got enough to get our teeth into. So come on down, 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, how would you sum up your feelings today? Because in isolation, you sold Jota for £25 million 18 months ago. You've now brought him back for around £8 million. That must be a good feeling. However, Kyogo, 8 trophies, 8 goals against Rangers, over 80 goals in total. He's gone with the team still in the Champions League. So how do you feel? How do you balance that all up today? Do let us know right now on 0141 951 1025, and we will hear from Jota. He's back, he's been speaking today, and we'll let you know what he had to say very soon indeed. News, I think, really, really out of the blue. Genuinely, it's not often news breaks here. We think we've seen everything in Scottish football. It's not often you see something that genuinely surprises you. But Stuart Kettlewell has incredibly quit as Motherwell manager this afternoon. So Motherwell fans, I know there's been a bit of unrest about performances recently, but fifth in the table, a club of Motherwell's size, says that there's been too much abuse aimed at him and his family. Give us your reaction to that. That is an incredible story. I suspect one that even fans out with Firth Park might have an opinion on. Same number to you. And it wouldn't be Monday night without a good old tear-up about refereeing decisions. So Rangers fans, the floor is yours. By this time tomorrow, we'll know if the appeal has been successful. I hope. Until then, you can have your say. I've got a funny feeling there might be some opinions out there. So 0141 951 1025. Right, you two, set the scene. What was your result of the weekend?
Oh, I'm going to have to go for St Mirren. I know Aberdeen are in the depths of despair at the minute, but St Mirren going to Pittodrie and winning 3-0, that's the result of the weekend, Gordon.
Simon Donnelly?
Yeah, that's pretty hard to beat, that one. But I'm going to go for the other Saints. Put your team out the cup last weekend, went down 1-0 in this game, but managed to turn it round and win another very important 3 points. They've languished at the bottom of the table, but that result gives them a small chance and to build on that to try and get away from the bottom. Going to St Johnstone.
Right, fine. If you must, your goal of the weekend. Some good choices this weekend, I thought, if you don't mind me saying.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the last of the goals on the weekend, Cyril Dessers for Rangers at Tannadice. he took his goal so well at Old Trafford on Thursday night. It was almost a carbon copy, but I think from a more acute angle and further out, and it fairly fizzed into that top corner.
I'm going Bobby Wills.
Oh, nice finish. I was
lovely
there.
Finish. Looks a nice player, nice young lad coming through at Kilmarnock, and he took that one with real aplomb, real cool finish, so I'm going to go for him.
Out of contract in the summer?
Is he indeed?
He is indeed, 19 years of age.
He looks apart. I like what I see.
Okay, howler of the weekend. This will be more fun. Simon, start with you.
I'm going to go big Ribisic up at Aberdeen in the game that Roger's talking about. Early in a game when, you know, you're on a bad run, mistakes like that just do not help Jimmy Tilleen. It's a real howler. It allows Olesanya in to get the first goal, and it really set St Mirren off and what was a fantastic afternoon for them. So I'm going Ribisic.
That's an interesting one.
You know something? I was tempted to go for Ribisic's second howler, but I think we'll have to go for Nick Walsh at Tannadice. It's not a red card in a month of Sundays, never mind yesterday. I don't know what he's seen. The VAR, who I think was it Don Robertson, VAR, brought him over to the screen and he didn't back down. He doubled down.
All right, Lemmy.
Yeah.
will he win their appeal?
I caught up in some highlights last night, and this is a good gauge for you. Mrs. Hannah watched it over my shoulder and said, "What happened there?" And I explained it to her, and she said she had not been there for to be sent off. And again, I explained, and she said, "That's ridiculous." So that's...
There you go. Well, the ultimate authority has spoken.
There you are.
Forget Willie Collum or the appeals panel. Mrs. Hannah said.
Do you know actually what happened? I was watching the game and I flicked it over before the end. I watched that and I thought that's going to get overturned. So I actually didn't realise it stood until later on.
You turned it off?
I switched over. I think there was other football and I thought, right, this game's finished.
You switched over.
And then it was only later on, about an hour later, that I realised that he'd went with his first decision.
That's he's pushing the Dan Casey one very close. That's all I'll say to you.
Yeah. Not quite as bad, but anyway. Your top man then, top performer.
Top man for me, I'm just going to go for Dessers, I think, just so that nobody can accuse me of any biasedness out there. I think he took his goal at Old Trafford really well, and he's built on that. And he's taken a lot of criticism over the time at Rangers. I think there's something there with the guy. He sometimes misses the easy one, which, you know, encourages the criticism, but it was a fantastic finish at the weekend again from him. Left foot.
I'm going to go for Simo Vallagari. He's not had it easy since he came back into Scottish football. He didn't get it easy on Saturday when one of his centre-halves cried off just before the game. He started with a back three that had a right winger and a centre-half, a central midfielder in it. He lost a goal to a beautifully struck Andy Halliday penalty.
Coolness early personified. In the game.
But somehow they got a win, and I can't see St Johnstone getting out of the mess. But if they do get out of this mess, Saturday might be the one that's just the turning point, you know.
01419511025. So many big stories today, so pick one and give us a call. Andy is going to kick us off. What one of them caught your eye today, Andy?
Hey, good day, Gordon. Obviously happy Jota's coming in. A wee bit concerned about the vacancy left by Kyogo. Firstly, can I thank you? My boy's with me just now. You said you were very nice to him when he spoke to you at Celtic Park today. So you want to thank yourself.
Yes, I remember that.
There you go, sir.
I hope, was he hanging around for a picture with Jota by any chance? Did he get one?
Yeah, I was. I did get one too.
A collector's item, Andy. Right, go on. Let's do it. Let's split it into two. How good a point is it, Andy, bringing Jota back?
Anyway, so yes, I think bringing Jota back is great. However, I'm going to say something. I think at the moment, Celtic are weaker in the transfer window than they started. We knew we needed another winger to come in. Doesn't it look as if Palmer's going to last much longer? Yang's not quite stepped up to the mark. So we needed a third winger. We've now significantly reduced in the number nine area. So at the moment, we're weaker. If Celtic bring in a replacement that's almost as good as Kyogo, it'll be a fantastic window. In fact, I'd ask the guys this. Could this be the most financially attractive window on Celtic's history? If they bring in Tierney, I mean, two guys they sold for 50 million, bringing them back for under 10. Both, there's arguments for and against, but both a wee bit more experienced. I don't know. Really, really, really happy Jota's come back. Almost as happy as Harry sitting next to me, Gordon.
Go on then. Who wants to take it away, Simon? Where's the... bittersweet. Is that fair?
I think it is.
How do you sum up today?
Listen... The three three seasons that Kyogo was at the club, he's been phenomenal. He really has. 85 goals and 160 odd appearances, big goals. Took him a little bit of time to get off the mark against Rangers, but when he did, he couldn't stop scoring. Goals in finals. I remember the two goals against Hibs in the semi-final, an immediate response to going one down, two fantastic finishes. He seemed to be the big-time player, and he's brought a lot of excitement to the fans over the three seasons he's been there. It's going to be hard to fill his boots. I think he's been the most significant striker, people are saying, since Henrik Larsson. There's maybe one or two in there that you could argue alongside him, but he certainly has been a top player for Celtic. I didn't see it coming last week. I thought with the Wren interest, I thought, you know, he'd been linked with Man City before. I didn't think there would be much in that. Celtic have qualified for the next round of the Champions League. I was surprised, but it's big boots to fill. I know he does there, but I'd agree with Andy. They are weakened. It's a top striker. You can't get away from that.
But Roger, if there is one thing you can do to offset the pain of losing Kyogo, whilst not a direct replacement, it's, as Andy says, pay £8 million or thereabouts for a guy that you sold for 25 18 months ago, yeah, who is still only 25 years of age. I mean, that in isolation would be an outrageously good piece of business. It's just the emotional battle of dealing with Kyogo's departure at the same time.
Andy mentioned a few things. If you take them individually, Kieran Tierney coming back effectively for no transfer fee is a good deal. Must be a good deal for Celtic. He's only 27 years of age. Jota coming back, was he 25 years of age?
Yeah, 25.
You would think his best years are going to be ahead of him.
Yeah.
Now, I know what you mean about Kyogo, but if we can park everything else and just look at the Kyogo deal, Kyogo's now 30. I don't think he's played as well in the last 2 years under Brendan Rodgers as he did under Ange Postecoglou. Kyogo changed agents and has been looking to go to a bigger league, not a bigger club, Andy, a bigger league. I'm not sure how much money Kyogo's made out the game, but I think he was looking to go and get a 3.5 or a 4 year deal somewhere on bigger money, and that was going to be the big payday of his career. So
he only got a 2.5 year deal though.
Exactly. So that takes him to he's what, about 33? I think he'll be getting more money at Rennes than he was at Celtic. That was a driving force for Kyogo. Celtic have got £10 million for a guy the wrong side of 30, who, as I said, I don't think has played as well the last 2 years as he did the previous 2 years. I think, taken in isolation, I think it's a good deal for Celtic. What Celtic probably need to go and do now, though, is go and sign a striker.
But that is the challenge, Andy, isn't it? Because Roger's talking like an accountant there. But for you, you're a football fan, you like players that are good for your team, and the business side's brilliant, but you're hoping that the guy that comes in is as good as Kyogo was, and that's not going to be easy.
Absolutely, Gordon. I phoned a couple of weeks ago and I got cut off, and I was making a suggestion that potentially if Adam Eder didn't buckle up his boots, that Johnny Kenny might actually become second choice. I just don't think that Eder has delivered at all. Hopefully it comes to the guy. There's a player in there somewhere. But it's all about performances on the pitch, and I don't think he's been doing it. So at the moment, I think we're very, very short in that area. And actually, I mean, we're going into at least the playoff round. Surely a wee bit of an improvement in the striking. And I mean an improvement on Kyogo. That's got to give you that chance of getting to the last 16. Without it, I don't think we'll challenge. I think we're okay domestically. Based on what Roger was saying there, I think Kyogo is a stronger league, certainly. It's a weaker team, but I think the level of opposition he's playing against every week, if it's true that there's a bit here about maybe being chosen for the World Cup for Japan, he's going to test himself every week over there more than he would here.
Do you think, Andy, could the answer in the short term already be in the building? I've always wondered if Brendan Rodgers preferred Dyes and Maida through the middle. I just wonder if Celtic, for the second half of this season, could end up going with Nicholas Coon, Dyson Maida and Jota.
It's a possibility, Gordon, Roger. It's a definite possibility, but you need to think about the modern game, I suppose. When you make your substitution at 60 minutes, you want equal, if not better, coming on to replace. At the moment, those 3-2, I think, is a perfect mix. Dyson Maida with 82 Wideram would be absolutely great. But then that means when you're making the changes after 60 minutes, you're bringing on lesser quality. I think we need another couple in so that when the changes are made at 60 minutes, the team doesn't drop anyway. That's just my opinion, I suppose.
Thank you very much to Andy. Let's get the thoughts of Thomas. Thomas, where's the balance between Jota, good news, Kyogo, not so good news? How do you feel about both?
Yeah, hi Gordon, hi Simon, hi Roger. Yeah, I think I'm obviously appointing, obviously Kyogo getting away. I think I'm kind of unhappy that he's away, Gordon, you know. But I think if he wants to move, you know, I think a lot of his choice. I mean, we can't deny how good he's done for us, you know. I think what Simon says, 85 goals and 160 appearances or something. But you know what? I obviously had the same goal, but on Jota, I think it's a fantastic signing. You know, selling him for 25 million three seasons ago, and bringing him back for under 10, I really think it's a good signing.
Thomas has fallen into the trap that I did as well, by the way. Wasn't he 3 seasons ago? It was a year and a half ago, Roger. It was August 2023. Yeah. Or July or August that he sealed his deal.
I had to ask my son.
That's more than 18 months, isn't it? But you get my point. In football terms, it's in fact, it is. Yeah, it's about 18 months. Just that would be the thing that would surely encourage fans like Thomas, because has he been successful on the pitch since he left Celtic? No, clearly not. Yeah. He's not kicked on as a footballer, but it was only a year and a half ago and he's only 25. So there's a pretty good chance that because it's an environment he knows, because it's a manager that he doesn't know but has got a decent track record of getting the best out of players, for £8 million, it seems like a pretty safe bet, does it not?
Oh, I think so, yeah. I mean, there's always...
And they'll play this back if he flops.
Simon will tell you, Simon's been in management, he's played as well. There's an element of gamble in every single deal.
Yeah.
But I think if you're bringing back Jota, and the same goes for Kieran Tierney, if you're bringing in these guys, it minimises the gamble. I used that phrase, if you remember, when Jota first came to Celtic, he was on loan. And he was on loan at the same time as Cameron Carter-Vickers was on loan from Tottenham to Celtic. And Celtic were looking to make both deals permanent. And I used that phrase, they're minimising the gamble because they've both had successful loan periods, they've both settled in well to the club. You know these guys are going to be successful when you sign them. And they did sign them and they were successful. And I can't think of any reason why Jota would come back to the club and not be successful, Gordon.
Yeah, I mean, Thomas, I take it you're pretty confident he... Because I suppose you would even settle for... If he was close to the player that he was last time, wouldn't you? But the hope would be that he could be even better.
Oh, I definitely got them. See, when I left, obviously, I didn't realise it was 18 months ago. I really thought it was 2 years. But obviously, when he left, it hasn't really done much, you know, and you don't get the heart, kick a ball. But I think I'm coming back, obviously, it doesn't know Rodgers, but you know, I just think it's a cracking thing for us. I really do, especially. Let's get into the Champions League playoff. All right, we've lost Kyogo, that's a big loss. But, you know, if we can maybe send in our striker, hopefully, the end of January, that would be good.
Simon told us his thoughts, Roger. Where would you rank Kyogo in terms of importance or whatever you want to use as a category over the last however many years you want, really?
I remember the morning Celtic signed Kyogo because... Vissel Kobe, I should say, the side he came from in Japan, announced the deal. And they announced it in sort of Japanese time, which, you know, several hours, like, basically announced it in the middle of the night, Scottish time. And Celtic fans were waking up to this.
They were going to play Tynecastle news. That night, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Waking up to this news and
night?
Thinking,
mm-hmm. Yep.
Who is this guy?
Yep.
We've never heard of this guy. What's going on? He's coming from Japan. We don't sign players from Japan. No. What's going on?
It was something totally new, wasn't it?
And then the guy came over and said, I'm going to have that number 8 shirt. That guy Brown used to have. Remember him? I know he won a couple of things, but yep. I'm going to have his shirt. Thanks very much. Yep. I'm going to take that. And I thought, I quite like to cut this wee guy's jib.
Yep.
And he never looked back. And he scored terrific goals. He scored big goals. He scored goals in cup finals. He scored goals in Old Firm games. He scored goals in Europe. Quite often the mark of a good striker that, you know, they can depend on him. I remember he had a hamstring injury and refused not to play in a League Cup final and scored 2 goals against Hibs, then missed about a month or 6 weeks. The shoulder just keeps popping out. He keeps going off. He keeps getting put in. I'd imagine that's sore. And he keeps coming back on. So there was no doubting his bravery. There was no doubting his commitment. There was no doubting his quality. He was, pound for pound, a fantastic Celtic signing. And by the way, what a profit they've made in them as well. Yeah.
Thank you very much to Thomas. We're going to hear from the returning Jota when we return, and keep your calls coming because there is so much to get through. We're going to get through as much of it as possible. Bear with us and we will take as many of your calls as we can next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jota, Kyogo, red cards, Stuart Kettlewell. A weekend full of action. It is all happening in the company of Simon Donnelly and Roger Hanna. Let's hear from Jota on his return. About 18 months since he last did a Celtic interview, I suspect. These are his general thoughts on coming back to the club.
I'm buzzing at the moment. It feels like home. And for me, that's something that I was aiming for. And today, going to Lennox Town and training, etc., it just felt like nostalgic, but it felt like I've never left, so that's the feeling at the moment. Never easy, right? Because all the decisions have the ups and downs, and you need to be smart on the steps that you are going to take. But like once I really had the time to think on it, and I understand that this was the best step for my career at this moment, I felt like, okay, let's go for it once again. And it just feels right. It's obviously been a year and a half with some difficulties, mostly like inside the pitch where I didn't had like a lot of opportunities to play. And obviously like physically, it's not my best moment, but that will come quickly with like minutes, game time, trainings. And I just can't wait for it.
01419511025, that's the number as always. Why not give us a call and let us know what you're thinking. James is going to take us away on Jota's return. What do you think?
Happy, but I think people's forgetting he's no played football for over 12 months. He's no way he's going to walk into a Celtic team within the next 4 weeks. Maybe five or six, mm-hmm. That's my opinion. But my point was about...
Just quickly on that, though, quickly on it, if you don't mind, because you make a great point. I think he acknowledged that today. Simon said it's going to take
him... Is that
him.
Right? Has he not played? I know he's not featured
as
much,
but... He's not played much, and he said today...
But still training?
He said, but he needs games. He said it himself today, so he said he's going to take a bit of time.
That's fair enough. As James says there, maybe 4, 5, 6 weeks. He might surprise us. He just said himself there, he wants to get back into training, starting to feel strong again. He's now working with Brendan Rodgers, different manager. It'll be interesting to see how what length of time it takes to get him up to speed. That was my only kind of, if it was a concern, but I mean, there's no doubting the guy's ability to get him back to anything like what he was at Celtic, as you suggest, improve on it. But that was my only thing. I was like, he hasn't played a lot of football. There could be a million reasons for that. But you also touched on it before the break there. Places that you feel at home, you don't often get a second chance to go back to a club like Celtic, and he's 25, his best years are ahead of him.
Yeah, I think he last came on at the end of middle of December. I think
he signed for 5.5 years.
Yeah,
he'll be fine.
You think he'll manage to be fit within this?
I think 5 years.
James, how much does that Kyogo departure worry you, or is this just is that a good deal all round?
We bought 3 players for $24 million. The boy from Norwich City. I think the big chap's got to produce it to Big Adam Eder. He's got to prove that he's worth the 8.5 million or 9 million paid for him. And another good point is, we get that money back. We spent $24 million and we got it back within 3 months with the Champions League qualifications, and the goals scored in the Champions League has gave us 7.7. So we're getting 3 players for 3. My point is, it's about the 3 of them. Trusty, I think, is proven that he can be good, but he has a wee bad patch in him. Adam Eder, I don't know. I hope a big man can do the business, because we've no got anybody else, and Arne Engels is hot and cold, but he's shown more hot than cold. I think we're going to struggle with Kyogo. Lovely wee guy, he's done as well. I just thought he might have stayed on until we played my final game in the Champions League. I don't know why he went before Red. I didn't see why he couldn't have stayed to the game against Aston Villa and then go and join Reds. And
I suppose the Villa one, to be fair, James, to put it to Simon, the Villa one is not really got much riding on it, but there is a, you know, I mean, in terms of progression,
of course.
But Celtic are still in the Champions League. Look, Kyogo can do what Kyogo sees fit for him. I'm certain Ren are paying him more money than Celtic. I've heard it is quite a bit more, to be fair, but you just wonder, you know, that he clearly did want to leave. Brendan Rodgers said as much. I get the why fans like James would think, well, can you just stay until, because it's only till the end of the season probably, you're still in the Champions League.
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe football is different because they don't know what's going to be there.
You don't know the ins and outs of it. If you'd asked me last week when the Ren stuff was getting mentioned, I would have said to you, "Nah, he's not going anywhere because they're in a
relegation battle in France."
Right. Well, not even that. But where Celtic are, they're just qualified for the next round of the Champions League. He's not going anywhere. He's in 85 goals. I thought maybe looking at trying to hit 100 for Celtic. These things are little things that, from the outside looking in, little targets, whether that was a major concern for him, it obviously wasn't. But if you'd asked me this last week, I'd have thought, nah, he's not going anywhere. But again, we don't see behind the scenes. Brendan Rodgers has come out and said that he'd expressed interest to go well before now. So I don't get him as being somebody in the dressing room who would have caused problems. But, you know, I think sometimes in football, the guy, what he's contributed to Celtic, if he wants to go, okay, it's not the ideal time, but you have to kind of appreciate his desires to go somewhere else. As Roger touches on there, financially it might set him up. But I was surprised. If you'd asked me this last week, I would have said, no, I don't think he's going anywhere.
It's mad. You were talking about the show on Tuesday, Simon. Wednesday night, Celtic won the game against Young Boys.
Yeah.
Celtic were quite rightly going around, taking the acclaim of the supporters for having qualified for the knockout
stages. See for the width of... He could have had a hat-trick the other night.
He could easily have done it. But as they're going around taking the acclaim of their own fans, the newspapers in France are announcing that Ren are signing him.
Yeah,
he's still on this pitch at Celtic Park. Yeah. And then within not a great deal of time, our colleague David Friel breaks the story that Jota's going in the other way. And it's strange. I don't think Brendan Rodgers would have been that happy that the stories came out, because it actually moved the agenda away from a remarkable achievement by Celtic. Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, Celtic wanted that acclaim that night, and the whole thing got hijacked by the Kyogo out, Jota in deal.
Yes, they won't be linking up again. Here's what Jota had to say on that.
Yeah, Kyogo is definitely someone that I have a very good relationship with on the pitch. This is football. Everything changes from one moment to another, and I wish I could still play with him more times. But as I told you, the wheel of football is always on moving, and then you just need to adapt yourself.
Paul is on the line. How would you react to today's mixed news coming out of the club, Paul?
Yeah, strange times, Gordon. Hey, good evening, guys. I've said a few times on the show about the fact that Kyogo would play at a much higher level than Celtic or Ren if he didn't have a suspect fitness issue, you know, with the shoulder, etc. I think from Brendan Rodgers' point of view, that wouldn't have been on his bingo card to have to sell Kyogo. And I think, again, he's shown as an elite manager, if you like, how he's handled that. There's been, you know, I disagree with Roger about the shame being taken away from the achievement of last Wednesday. I think it was just business as usual for a club that operates at a certain level. To get that kind of money for a 30-year-old with a dodgy shoulder is just incredible. Far less the money for Jota.
I never really kept him out of that many games though, Paul. Like, I know what you're saying, but I don't really get the link between that's what's stopping him playing at a higher level, because it didn't really, you know, he played in the vast majority of Celtic's big games.
Yeah, I don't have any proof, Gordon, other than the fact that he would be a Man City, Arsenal type player, because players like that, penalty box strikers like that with that kind of movement, are thin on the ground. So I've just always had it in my head that there's been a fitness issue with him.
I know what you mean. I won't split hairs over it, but Paul's right about Brendan Rodgers' bingo card. Brendan Rodgers said it in the simplest language. He did not want to lose Kyogo in this window. He's happy to have Jota back. and I'm sure he thinks that Jota's a player that, because I think he said before, didn't he? He was a player that he was looking forward to working with. Brendan Rodgers understandably believes he can make every player better, so he'll think that. But there's no doubt he'll be in that sort of mixed feelings over the package, will he not? But one in, one out.
The manager?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Listen, we said at the top of the show, he's the number one striker. He's been the number one striker since he walked in the door, so obviously it's a loss. But as Jota said there, the wheel of football or whatever,
can I just tell you, Gordon Dale will try and use that line at the weekend.
He will probably, yeah. I'm trying to get in before him. But I quite like that, because it is just football, and sometimes your favourites move on. I wrote down there, just when I was having a think there, Matt O'Reilly, what a player he was in his contribution last year. He's hardly been missed, and that's no slight to him. Celtic have moved on. They've qualified for the Champions League. They're going to have to move on from this. Financially, it's a great bit of business for a 30-year-old, but they're ultimately going to have to replace that quality somewhere. If it's Adam Ida to step up, if it's going to be Maeda playing through the middle, I mean, that front three there of Kun, Maeda and a Jota fully fit would blow many teams away.
I think January makes that a little bit harder. You know, as soon as you get to February, March, everybody knows Matt O'Reilly's leaving. It's going to be a club record fear thereabouts. Fine, okay, move on. Bit of time, contingency plan in place. I'm not saying there isn't a Kyogo contingency, but you can understand why fans, you're not quite as comfortable with it.
Yeah, absolutely. You've lost your top striker, so there's opportunity there for people that are already there. But I think that the club, and I think Brendan Rodgers will be looking, whether they can get somebody in at this time with what, a few days to go of the window, I'm not sure, but certainly the summer.
You wonder if they'll just delve into the English Premier League loan market just now, get someone to the end of the season and advise them that bit of time. I agree with Paul. I'm not sure.
Any names, Roger?
No, I'm not sure. I agree with Paul. I don't know whether they didn't hear me say it at the start of the show.
Is this the Evan million, Ferguson? £10 million for something else?
No. Listen, Evan Ferguson isn't linked with, but every other team you can imagine he could be. I mean, various people have been mentioned. Evan Ferguson was mentioned. Danny Ings was mentioned.
He acted like he knew there, though, Simon. Now he's backpedalling, if you ask me.
They planted a seed there.
He
was getting excited.
By the way, if they do it, I'll be claiming credit for it.
I'm sure you will. Thank you to Paul. 01419511025. Give us a call. We'll speak to you next.
Every day is payday.
Tell you what, the biggest payday of your life just around the corner. We're going bigger and better. £300,000 on Friday. Text yes to 61025. You get 2-for-1 on the texts. Your texts are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at clyde1.co.uk for 250 or call 0330 880 4523. Calls charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only. And the rules for this Rail Network competition are online. Lines close at 5 p.m. on Friday. Do not run out of time on this. It's £300,000 up for grabs. Text yes to 61025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Roger Hannah are here on an incredibly busy day in Scottish football. Every time I look down at the screen showing which calls are coming in, I see more Motherwell fans phoning in than we ever get on this show. As much as I would love it to have claret and amber battering down the door every night, sometimes it doesn't happen, and that tells me there must be something big brewing down Fir Parkway. Stuart Kettlewell quit, citing personal abuse affecting his family. It was, of course, a bad performance and result in Perth this weekend, as it was last weekend in the Cup. But very rarely would Motherwell and a manager part ways when a club with one of the smallest budgets in the top flight is sitting in fifth position. David is on the line. What did you make of it, David?
How you doing? Yeah, I'm gutted. I think, you know, I'm 35 and I've been a Motherwell fan for many years. Well, my whole life. I've watched, you know, James McFadden bursting on the scene, Scott McDonald. I love my club, and I've always been proud to be a Motherwell fan, a working class club, you know, punching above our weight. But today, I'm actually ashamed. I'm gutted that a young, talented manager who has bled claret and amber for 2 years has felt he's had to leave because of the abuse he's received. I'm absolutely appalled by that.
Roger, I said at the top of the show, I just wonder if you share, because you can disagree. We've done this dance a lot in Scottish football, and it's a bit of a madhouse, and nothing really surprises you.
Yeah.
This did surprise me, Roger. I think everybody, just to paint a picture, we were at Jota's press conference. Now, Jota's press conference is a big deal, and yet, as soon as it finished, everybody was saying, "Here's Stuart Kettlewell's left." It was a shock, wasn't it?
Stuart Kettlewell gets up at 6 o'clock every morning, and it was in at Motherwood Fir Park before breakfast time every morning, and he gave everything for the football club. When he first went there, he was in the youth department. Stevie Hamill was a manager. He helped develop some of these young players who are now in the first team. He helped develop Lennon Miller, who will be sold for a great deal of money. And as David says, he gave absolutely everything to that football club for a period of 2 years or more. And all he's got in the last few weeks is mindless abuse from a section of the Motherwell support. Motherwell have, and if anybody wants to correct me on this, charge on, the 10th biggest budget in a 12-team league. They're currently sitting 5th in that 12-team league.
Certainly there or thereabouts.
They've been to a Hampden semi-final this season where they led, and they've had, I'm not going to deny it, they've had a few bad results. But for a manager to be forced out of his job because of the abuse, for that manager's family to think they can't go to Fir Park because of the abuse, my understanding is there are some supporters have been forcibly moved seats at Fir Park by the club because they were directing abuse at the manager and they were too close to him. It brings shame on Motherwell Football Club. And, you know, what do you put, how does the manager, you know, how does the advert go out for the next manager?
For the next one.
Come in here with the 10th biggest budget, and if you finish below 5th, expect yourself and your family to get relentless abuse from a section of the Motherwell support. Motherwell is a family club. You're right, David, it's fan-owned, and some of those fans need to have a great good look at themselves tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, listen, I back everything that Roger says there. I wasn't sure if the abuse was online, but you're saying it's close quarters as well at the games. It must be pretty strong, you know, because it's a fantastic job. I've heard Stuart Kettlewell talk with great pride about, you know, leading that club time and time again. The work that you've mentioned there, Roger, that goes into actual management, and I mean, it's a 24/7 job, as every manager or coach will back me up out there saying. To feel as strongly to actually quit your job on the back of abuse, it's pretty shameful.
I think the abuse point's actually quite a simple one, because there's not really a debate to be had. I mean, it's just wrong. Like, yeah, that's fine. Everyone's going to agree with that. Let's dig a layer deeper than that, though, David, because there is an element of the Motherwell support that wanted him out on performance-related issues. Did you agree with that?
So there's a few bits to this, right? I think if you look, when he took over at the job from Stevie Hamill, he had players like Van Veen, he had Sean Goss, he had Max Johnson, who were absolutely killing it towards the end. They were playing great football. And then you have the mass exodus. And it's the same every season. You know, we get these great players in and then they go off to other clubs. And it's a rebuild. And then I remember looking at the team when he started his first full season, and they went to the Netherlands, and you looked at some of the players in the squad and you're like, they're making up numbers. Like, it's not a full team. And then we went on this really tough run, about 15 games without a win. And he got a tough time at that point. I actually felt he was always going to turn it around, and he did. And then this season, we find ourselves, I think it was 9 points ahead of what we were before. But the big bit here is the injury list. We've got one of, you know, Scotland's bright young talent, Lennon Miller, injured. We signed Stamatolopoulos, you know, big signing, injured. Our captain's injured. Our goalkeeper's injured. And I think, to Stuart's point, you know, you go toe-to-toe with teams and you don't get your first team out, you're going to get hurt. The last couple of results haven't been great. But this manager went toe-to-toe with Rangers at Ibrox and beat them. He went to Parkhead, got a point a couple of times. And I accept the last few results haven't been great, but I think if he got a few players back, he'd have turned it around again. It's such a shame, because he's a really talented manager, and I think we'll see him at the top of Scottish football. I really do.
It's the spine of the team. David's right.
Yeah.
Oxford and the goalkeeper, McGinn, the captain in centre-half, Miller, who stepped in as captain, quite clearly your best player, and Stamatopoulos, who's very close to a club record signing. And the four of them are out long-term.
Can you imagine?
If you go to Celtic, Kasper Schmeichel, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Callum McGregor, and I know Kyogo's gone, but Kyogo out the team, they're not going to be as good.
We would do multiple nights in a row on that injury list. Nothing's ever that simple though. Should they have been doing better in recent weeks with the players that they still had available? Could the style have been better? Did comments made last week about implying fans don't dedicate themselves to the game the way we do, so I won't take advice from them? Did some of that stuff not help?
You could sort of tell that Stuart was feeling it last week with those comments. I think he did an interview after the game on Saturday on Motherwell's own TV channel where you could tell he was feeling the strain. So I don't think he'd have made those comments last week in normal circumstances. Could they do better? Listen, I'm glad David's come on and made those points. I would actually be interested to speak to a Motherwell fan who agrees it was time for Stuart Kettlewell to leave, because I would like to hear from that section of the Motherwell support as to what their expectations for Motherwell are. Where do they genuinely think Motherwell should be situated in Scottish football?
Come on then, answer the man. If you are out there, give us a call. Thank you, David. What about Fraser, who's a Motherwell fan? I don't know if you want to answer that point, Fraser, or if you think this is a bad day for the club with the manager leaving.
I think it's a bad day. Going into Roger's comment that you've just said there, I'd be hard-pushed to see these keyboard warriors coming on here and telling you a good reason to why you should be getting rid of Stuart Kettlewell. You probably made a lot of points. I was going to say injury list. You've lost pretty much four first team players. Also as well, we've had quite a lot of bad decisions, refereeing decisions against us that have cost us points this season as well. I don't know, obviously we've seen Kettlewell lose his rag quite a few times this season. So again, I think maybe part of it's obviously refereeing decisions, but I don't know if he's been losing his rag because of some of this abuse. Because I feel like it's been going on all season. Although we've been winning games, you've been seeing things online about the style of play, but now we're not winning games. But Saturday, defending for the two goals is terrible. The last few weeks has been terrible. That's the only negative thing I would say, is the style of play the last few weeks has been very poor. But I don't know what Motherwell fans expect and who they think is going to come in and replace him. But you have pretty much said all the things that I was thinking anyway about you know, sort of going. I just don't know where Motherwell will go forward. I mean, I think they'll probably get a steady pair of hands to the end of the season. We're nearly at the end of the transfer window, so you can't imagine they're going to bring somebody in, you know, they're not going to be able to do any business before the end of the window. So I think steady pair of hands. Don't know who the steady pair of hands would be. I really don't know.
I think Roger as well. And don't get me wrong, I'm not suggesting players should decide. Far from it. Hopefully, I think we're going to your old pal Andy Halliday on the show tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Quite often, when a manager leaves or is sacked, you get the sense that players sort of knew it was the right time. And obviously, look, football management's hard. Some players aren't getting a game, so those players might think, "Good, I'm glad this guy's gone." That dressing room, from what I understand, was fully behind Stuart Kettlewell. So you've got another problem there. This is not fans who did want him to lose his job have, in a sense, got their way. But now what?
Gordon, we go in and out of football clubs regularly, part of the job. And I'm quite often in at Fir Park. Media conferences, first thing in the morning, breakfast time. They give you a cup of coffee and a rolling sausage and it's great.
Always good.
And
that's why
you go in, there's always a good... I'm speaking in the... Under the tenure of Stuart Kettlewell, there's always a good atmosphere about the place. There was always a happy atmosphere about the place. Stuart Kettlewell was a manager who let his senior players run the dressing room. Paul McGinn, Stephen O'Donnell, Andy Halliday, people like that. Stuart Kettlewell never once went into that dressing room during the week And I think the players respected the fact that he treated them as adults. He let them do their own thing. He didn't micromanage them and go in and, you know, point out little things. It was all a very, very grown-up, adult environment. I think the players appreciated it, and the players gave their all for him.
Do you think there's a danger, sorry, just to push for time to interrupt, the fans who did want him to leave, it was his choice, but the fans who did want him to leave, is there a danger they'll find out the grass isn't always greener?
Well, how much, I'm not, again, you're better qualified as a Motherwell fan all your life to tell me this. How much greener does it get for Motherwell? Now, you're going to say they were once in the Champions League and they played Panathinaikos, they were second in the league. That was a different era for Scottish football. Rangers weren't in the league. Other teams were down. Hearts and Hibs had time in the Championship. The here and now, today, if you're looking at budgets and you're looking at a degree of realism, it's not going to get much better for Motherwell than fifth place in a Hampden semi-final. It's just not.
Thank you very much, Fraser and David. Now it's time to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. Your chance to win a signed ball. Get one over on Roger or Simon. But you have to call before 7 01419511025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Simon Donnelly are here reacting to the news that Jota's re-signed for Celtic, Kyogo's gone to Rennes, Stuart Kettlewell's quit as a Motherwell manager, and we've not even really analysed any incidents from the weekend. That shows you how busy a day it has been. However, we've got a whole hour to go, so let's do it. Anything else, get stuck in right now on 0141 951 1025, and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Simon Donnelly, is this the first time you've ever shared the floor with the master?
In this studio.
Roger Hanna.
I've shared the old studio with you one time, I think.
Yeah. So pre-live stream days.
Pre-live stream.
So that's come back a couple of years since you saw him. He wasn't on minus two back then, was he?
No,
I don't think so. Minus one, maybe.
He's on minus two these days. So let's see who's up tonight.
No, you're right, Simon. It's a disgrace.
It's not a disgrace. Stephen is in Oban. How's it going, Stephen?
Not too bad. How's yourself?
I know what's happened to you, Stephen. You're a Rangers fan. Your team have finally won away from home. You think everything's right with the world, and you want to come on and beat the pundit. Is that accurate?
I'd say so. I've got a night off the missus. She's working, so I'm in the middle of just making maybe a dinner. So I'll get a wee test my luck.
And
what are you making, Stephen?
What are you making?
Chicken fried rice.
Nice, that's a good choice. Mrs. Stephen's going to come back. What have you been up to? I've made my own dinner. I've won a signed ball on Beat the Pundit. Mondays don't get any better than that.
I'm not taking it to Oban.
No, absolutely not. There's not in the conditions we've had over the weekend.
Well, as I'm a chef in Oban, if he's ever come in to Ken Moore, I'm sure we can rustle up. He's a wee lunch and a dinner deal then.
Sounds good to me.
Like, yeah,
perfect toast. Heads, it will be Simon Donnelly. Tails, it will be Roger minus two. Hannah. And it is, again, the minus two.
Oh,
I'm worried about this because I feel like if you lose again, we might need to reassess the handicap, which makes me think
I've been telling you this for 2 years.
I think you'll throw the game. Anyway, Stephen, I'm going to give him something else to listen to so he can't hear you. You have 30 seconds to answer as many as you can. If you want to pass and move on, that is absolutely fine, okay?
No worries at all.
Right, your 30 seconds going on the clock and your time starts now. Kieran Dowell joined the Rangers from which club?
Nottingham Forest.
Who was the last Scotland international to play in France?
Scott McKenna.
What nationality is Jeffrey?
Brazilian.
How many wins in the league have Airdrie had this season?
12.
Who was the only player to score a double in the Premiership at the weekend?
Pass.
Hamilton Accies celebrate which anniversary this year?
125.
Who scored more goals for Celtic, Edouard or Kyogo?
Edouard.
Okay, Roger minus two. Hannah, can you hear us?
Yes.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Same set of questions. Don't forget, you are a minus two. I can't have another defeat for you. Your reputation's at stake here, okay?
I don't have a reputation, Gordon.
Your time starts now. Kieran Dowell joined Rangers from which club?
Norwich.
Who was the last Scotland international to play in France?
Alan Johnson.
What nationality is Jeffty?
Brazilian.
How many wins in the League have Airdrie had this season?
Two.
Who's the only player to get a double in the Scottish Premiership at the weekend?
Michael Mandron.
Hamilton Accies celebrate which anniversary this year?
100.
Who scored more goals for Celtic, Edouard or Kyogo?
Kyogo.
Which team are currently top of the SWPL?
Glasgow City.
Okay, I think we had that question last week. Who was it that made a complete pig's ear of it? Oh no, no, that was who had the most titles. Forgive me, forgive me. Right, Stephen, how do you think it went?
Aye, not too bad. But I think maybe the question you asked about the Scottish player, I think you said Spain to me, not France.
What did I say? Spain, did I?
You said France to me.
Back to you. But...
that's Roger Hart of France.
But you said Scott McTominay anyway, so I wouldn't be right either, would it?
I wouldn't worry. I think I've got it wrong as
don't
well.
Don't worry. If he'd got it, I would have a real issue, Stephen, if I had done you out of anything, but you're about to find out.
No, right, don't worry about it. Sorry.
Kieran Dowell joined Rangers from Norwich. Roger Hanna gets it. He is now one behind. The Scotland international who was the last to play in France.
I thought you said Spain, but sorry.
Stephen Fletcher.
Of course, Marseille.
Roger Hanna still one behind. The Jeffty nationality, Brazilian, you both got it. Roger Hanna still trails by one. Airdrie got their second league win of the season against Michael Tidzer's New Dunfermline at the weekend. Roger Hanna is level. Mikael Mandron was the only player to get a double at the weekend. Roger Hanna goes one in front. None of you knew the Hamilton Accies 150th anniversary. Happy
I'm
birthday.
A fan as well, so I should have known that.
Yes. I'm going there on Saturday for Super Scoreboard.
Where? Why?
Well, you've sent me. I don't know why.
Nothing to do with me. Must be kidding. This reminds me of a guy like at 10:30 or whatever when things got all said and done from Old Trafford the other night. Someone was tweeting me complaining about the tweets from the Super Scoreboard account, accusing that I had written them. I felt like saying, do you think we've got people who do that stuff for us?
Gordon Dale does them.
For goodness sake, the thought that I was sitting there tweeting from the Super Scoreboard account. You know, one of these, something along the lines of, you'll be raging or you'll be happy. I can't remember which way round it would have been. Anyway, now that I've got that off my chest, who scored more goals for Celtic, Edouard or Kyogo? I hope we've counted this right, because you know how different websites have sometimes got different ideas. It was Edouard by two.
No way, was
apparently.
It?
Apparently. 87 to 85.
Wow.
Whereas I thought Kyogo only had 83, so it just shows you I've probably looked in
there
the wrong
go.
Place.
87.
Luckily, it's the right way round for this not to impact the match, because Stephen got it and you didn't.
Yeah,
but you did know that Glasgow City are top of the SWPL. They lost at the weekend though to Hibs. Celtic beat Hearts. It's very, very tight at the top. So a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 for Roger Hanna. Minus his 2 takes him to 3, but it was still more than your 2, I am afraid, Stephen. I enjoyed your company though. Hopefully the fried rice works out well. And just... you don't need to tell your wife anything about this if you don't want to.
Don't worry, I won't see her till tomorrow now anyway.
Good man. How are you feeling about your team though, Stephen? There must have felt like you would never win an away game in the league, and eventually you've managed it yesterday. Happy?
I've seen the goal, the Dundee right goal going in yesterday. I thought, here we go, I think we're going to get beat here. But no, they showed some resilience and fought back and got the 3 points. I don't think it was a send off right enough, but that's to debate for another day.
Oh no, it's a debate for right now, which I suspect we will get stuck into, Roger. But before we do, focus on that incident. That was an important win, wasn't it?
Oh, definitely. Aye, Clement needed it for sure, especially after getting beat by United. So cruel on Thursday night with an injury weather. It's never really very easy on Thursday, but on to this Thursday, we need to just do it and hopefully get it over the line.
I think Philip Clement's probably had a good January. Towards the end of December, you wouldn't have given too much for his long-term job prospects. When Rangers were dropping points here and there on the road, it didn't look particularly good, but the one that started, that win against Celtic at Ibrox, I think Rangers gathered 14 points in the month of January. Decent performance at Old Trafford as well. With results going their way last Thursday, they're through in the Europa League, so you know, the final game against USG on Thursday doesn't really matter too much. He's looking in a better position than he did a month ago, Gordon.
And by the way, I'm assuming these questions were not accidental. A bit of news coming out of Rangers today. Kieran Dowell off to Birmingham City on loan.
Yeah.
And Jeffrey rumoured to be attracting interest from Chelsea, is the reports that are coming out tonight. So interesting stuff for you there, Rangers fans. Thank you very much to Stephen on Beat the Pundit. What about John on the line? How are you, John?
I'm fine, how are you guys?
Good. What are you thinking about yesterday then? Red card by any chance?
Yes, that's on my mind. I've got three wee bits of information to bring up, if that's okay.
Take it away.
So, on the VAR rules, it says the VAR will assist on on-field referees in an event of a clear and obvious error or mistaken and missed incident in relation to goals, mistaken identity, penalty area incidents, or straight red cards. So, also, the Law 12 says striking an opponent in the head or face with a hand or arm is considered violent conduct. But the SFA put out a statement saying a deliberate swing of arm towards the face of the opponent, which to me suggests that they've already admitted that he didn't make contact. So if the case is that striking an opponent or swinging your arm towards the face of an opponent is a red card, why didn't the Celtic player get sent off also?
Which Celtic player?
I think it was the Dundee United game where he made contact with his face while bringing him down.
Oh, that's a Luke McCowan clip, I think, down there. There's a lot to get through there, and I appreciate John for bringing it all up. I think to distill it very simply, Roger, what did you make of that yesterday?
It's not a red card. Right at the end of the game, Kevin Hall shoves him. Probably a yellow card for Kevin Hall. I think Nick Walsh probably get that much right. Diamandi's off balance, a hand flails up. The angle that Nick Walsh is looking at it, I've seen TV footage from behind Nick Walsh, so you're getting probably the same kind of view that Nick Walsh got. You could probably think, if you see it at that angle, that maybe he's slapped him, tried to slap him, had a wee swing at him. But Don Robertson, who sees all the other angles in VAR, obviously clearly doesn't think that was the case. Asked Nick Walsh to come over, have a look at it again. I think we all thought it was going to be revoked, and it wasn't revoked. To be honest with you, I don't know what Nick Walsh has seen, what Nick Walsh has thought. I think it's a really poor decision, and I think Rangers will win the appeal tomorrow.
I think this reminds me of discussions we always have. In a way, it's quite obvious what Nick Walsh thinks he saw, Simon. Yeah. That's not to say that he's right, because as John quite rightly helped us out, the violent conduct rule is this. It really boils down to this. A player, when not challenging for the ball, deliberately strikes an opponent or any other person on the head or face with a hand or arm is guilty of violent conduct unless the force used was negligible. So that last word, I must admit, if I was at IFAB and I wrote the rules, I think it's a dreadful word. I think it's very vague. Your idea of negligible might be very different from mine. So, but that's really it. So Nick Walsh clearly, whether you agree or not, thinks the force used was more than negligible.
Yeah.
So there is a slightly different test when it comes to the face. You know, if I'm going to strike you on the body, it needs to be that real excessive force or whatever. And by the way, then there's obviously a question of is there even contact made? Now, to really muddy the waters, technically
it doesn't need to be.
Technically there doesn't need to be, but then you would need to swing with a lot of force and miss, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So this comes down to a couple of things. Do you think there was contact? The force used, whether there is or isn't contact, was it more than negligible? Nick Walsh, clearly, because he stuck by his decision, thinks it was more than negligible.
No,
I've not heard many that agree.
No, I don't think it was more. I think there was... Do you even describe it as a coming together? I think he's kind of trying to brush the Dundee United player Holt away. I've watched it loads of times on... I can't categorically say there was definite contact there at all. And as I said earlier on, I dismissed... As soon as I seen Nick Walsh going over to the screen to have a look at it, I thought he was going to overturn it. I mean, 95 times out of 100 that happens.
Well, that's the other thing, and that's the thing we always...
And by the way, he's within his rights to say, no, Roger described it as double down, but
Yeah, because
I don't think there's any.
We sort of long for that at times, don't we? Because when VAR first came in, people used to say, what's the point? As soon as they go to the monitor, they always just change their mind. When's anyone going to have the courage to
be your own man?
But then when these ones happen, most people say, why have you stuck to that?
Chris Graham was his own man at Fir Park that Friday night against Kilmarnock and stuck to his decision, was ridiculed for sticking to his decision, and Motherwell won their appeal. And I think the same thing is going to happen this time. I think sometimes referees need to have a wee think, why is the VAR called me over to the screen here? You know, I've seen this once. The VAR's seen it from all different angles. Clearly, the VAR thinks, you know, I should have another look at this and have the benefit of different views. And, you know, I haven't heard anyone other than Nick Walsh himself who believes it was a red card.
Yeah. I think the other... This is more of a sort of unofficial, let's move away from the rule book for a minute, which I get. There'll be people out there who say, no, you know, you must uphold the rules at all times, which I get, and clearly that's what Nick Walsh thinks he's done. Sometimes a good test for me is see if that's the other way round. See if he doesn't send Diomande off. Do you think Jim Goodwin's complaining?
No.
Do you think Dundee United are complaining? It's in the last minute of the game, you've come through it, Rangers have won, blow the full-time whistle, get up the road. I'm not saying refs should take a vibes-based approach to things, and I know they're just trying to uphold the rules, but we just wouldn't, you know, it's not the type of this. We wouldn't have had calls tonight saying that's a red card, that's a disgrace. So when you flip it the other way, that kind of highlights the kind of the size of what's perceived to be the mistake from a lot of people.
Yeah, 100%. I'll be fascinated. When do you and your pal Willie sit down again for the next VAR review?
I think it's the start of February, maybe first week or something. February, end of the first week.
I won't have long to wait, because I need
to check my diary.
I will be interested to hear Willie's view on it, what he thought about the Nick's original decision, what he thought about the decision to ignore the advice of the VAR. Even just something like what you've said there, Gordon, whether, you know, a more experienced referee might have thought, this is a 96th minute, Rangers are 2-0.
Well, on that point, in our game, maybe Nick Walsh is pretty up there.
But still a young man. You know, maybe thinking of guys...
Arguably our top official.
Well, that is arguable.
That's the way it's meant to be.
You wonder if... there's some big officials in England can make mistakes as well when you look at the red card at Arsenal at the weekend, etc., etc. But I just think sometimes, you know, refereeing, it's not just about the rule book. It's about managing the game and managing the players and doing, you know, doing so with a bit of common sense.
The angle initially, as Roger suggests, from behind there, you might think it's a strike. But surely when you see the other angles... you realise. And that's why I'm surprised he's kind of stayed with the...
Do you think Rangers will win this appeal tomorrow, John?
I hope so, because the two words that are sticking out to me is the strike in the face of the opponent, but then the SFA statement says arm towards the face of the opponent, so they've already admitted that he didn't strike him on the face.
I have to admit, I don't really know what went into that. I think this statement, which wasn't really a statement, has just muddied the waters. I really think people are reading into that too much, Roger. I think Nick Walsh thought it was a red, Don Robertson didn't, Nick Walsh stuck to it, and tomorrow we'll find out what the independent tribunal has to say. Nothing to do with Willie Collum or Nick Walsh tomorrow.
No, as in an independent tribunal, I think Rangers will win the appeal. But, you know, if Rangers win the appeal and then the KMI panel comes out at, you know, on Friday and says, Nick also says Nick got it wrong, and then, you know, Willie speaks to you at the review and, you know, gives his opinion, it doesn't, you know, none of it will reflect well on Nick, I don't think, unfortunately.
But again, that is also part and parcel, isn't it? You mentioned Michael Oliver at the weekend or whatever. That's why appeals are there. That's why panels are there, that's why VAR reviews are there. Like, if a mistake's made, you deal with it and you move on. People saying it was a mistake is okay.
I just think, as you said, a wee bit of common sense. 96 minutes. It's not as if it's in the fifth minute of the game. You know, it's 0-0. The game's in the balance. Manage the game. Get a whistle blown.
To be fair, part of me regrets bringing that up, because it's not only about that. Because you're saying actually within the rules you don't think it's a red anyway. So forget the minute of the game and all that. But it was more of a... a small footnote on it. Thank you to John. I'm sure there are more opinions out there on it. If you want to share them, now would be the time.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Simon Donnelly are here on 0141 951 1025. You're in good company tonight, Simon Donnelly. None of this Marvin Bartley or Gordon DL helping you with the full time teaser.
Bit of class. It was reminding me there on the Beat the Pundit, it's like the chase, isn't it? When he's two behind and
try to catch up.
It's the chase. You'll be on that soon.
You can get the feet up here because he'll help you out. The Crazy Pony sent a good question in, though. I have to say I'm enjoying this one. Can you name the top nine goal scorers in Scotland's top flight since 97-98?
That's a clue.
Who come from a non-UEFA country. And of course, it's football nationality as always. So who are the top nine scorers in the Scotland's top flight from the 97-98 up until now, overall, and they come from a non-UEFA country?
So they don't need to be top scorer in a certain season?
No.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Wants to go?
Absolutely.
Well, the man at the moment, Kyogo.
Absolutely, there as well. Yes, Kyogo. Well done. He is third.
Alfredo Morelos.
He is second. Simon, want to join the party at any point? Or?
I will eventually.
He's still writing the question down.
What about, you can mention Alan Scott McDonald.
He is first. You're good. Well done. Okay, we'll leave it there because that's you. Three down, six to get. Thank you to the Crazy Pony. And if you want to hear your question used on the show, the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. Let's hear what Philippe Clement had to say on this red card business.
When it happened, I didn't see what happened. So I looked back after the game. I totally don't understand the red card. I think the VAR also didn't understand the red card. Otherwise, they don't ask the referee to come to watch the screen. Dio get pushed away. So there's violent conduct towards him in the push. And he falls back and he has a small reaction with his hands, not touching anybody. So if you see that back, I think it's clear. The maximum is for the two players, a yellow card. I see so many things happening in Scottish football every week. If this is a red card, then every game there should be 3-4 red cards. And we're going to appeal that and then we're going to see what they think about it. And also to ask what the VAR said. It's clear they bring him to the screen, so they don't agree with the decision. That's clear. Everybody that I speak here say that they don't understand the red card.
I'm looking forward to hearing the VAR audio, Roger. It kind of reminds me, though, of the debates we always have about this stuff, and shudder to go back to the cup final. You always expect this explosive revelation when, unless I'm missing something, Don Robertson in the VAR clearly doesn't think there's enough force or there's no contact. Yeah. And Nick Walsh says, oh, I do think there's enough force or contact. Like, do you know what I mean?
I don't know
what it is people sort of expect. Because what other outcome could there be?
Yeah. What are they expecting Don Robertson to say? Listen, just get him 2 yellows and got him the road. You know, Don Robertson clearly doesn't think it's a red card. He's told him that. Nick Walsh stuck to his original decision. It'll go to an appeal panel tomorrow. I would suspect Rangers will win the appeal tomorrow and everyone will move on.
Going to be interesting again, worth bearing in mind. This is lots of panels and reviews and all this sort of stuff. This is not the KMI panel. This is an independent tribunal. So Nick Walsh has nothing to do with it. Willie Colum, nothing to do with it. And these are not even football types. Is that right?
Yeah, that's Mark and Hugh Keevan.
That's right. This is more of an independent...
I heard them speculate body. About you the other day. Did somebody not speculate about you being on one of those?
Oh, the KMI panel.
By the way, he's in everything else. He should be on it.
I think that's probably... No, the call hasn't come in, I have to say. I wouldn't do it. Never. Let's bring in Andy on the line. How are you, Andy?
How you doing, guys? All right?
Hi, Andy.
What do you think about the red card, Andy? I'm going to guess, as a Rangers fan, you think you were hard done by.
Oh, that was shocking, honestly. I mean, I don't know. When the referee went to the VAR screen, I mean... I think Roger said it on site. When you looked at the referee position, you go, oh, he might have slapped him, but then when you seen the VAR, he looked at it about 20 times, you're going, he's never touched him. So, to me, that's shocking. and I think that'll be overturned. I definitely think it'll be totally overturned.
Do you think force, Roger, is the sort of key component, or is that the one you're looking at? Because either way, we never do this in Scottish football, and just admit that I don't know if there's contact. I can't tell if there is. No. I can't tell if there isn't.
Yeah.
But it's more about
force has to be.
You know,
force has to be a factor.
Even if there is.
If Diamandi is sent off for an orthodox challenge on Kevin Holt in the ground, what was the phrase you used to use? You know, excessive force, brutality, etc. So that type of thing should always be a factor.
It is. A slightly different test to the face, worth pointing out, but I do take your point.
But we're all sitting here in agreement. Everyone I've spoken to away from the show is in agreement as well. It's just not a red card.
I think we were talking about it in the break. I think even... It's like a gesture as if he's trying to put the two of them are coming. He's trying to push him away. Unfortunately, it's round about his chin. But looking at back, time after time, I don't think it's a definite slap. Or, you know, it just isn't. It just isn't. And I'm surprised when it goes to the. And he's got the advantage of the other angles to look at it. I'm surprised they stuck with his original decision.
Do you think they'll win the appeal, Andy?
I definitely do. I mean, honestly, I think that's Roger said it, even his wife said it. So
I cannot believe Mrs. Hannah's getting cited as a source.
Let me tell you, Andy, that's the ultimate authority.
This is at least new, because for the last few weeks we usually get, well, Dermot Gallagher says, or Willie Collum says, or the KMI panel says, and we always take them as gospel. So we've added a new layer. Andy, what it has done in a weird way has taken away from the fact that. Because luckily for Rangers, if you're saying it was an injustice, it didn't impact anything on the day. Now, we'll find out if it impacts Rangers with a suspension going forward or not. But the game was done. It was at the end of the game. It was a good win. Talk to us about that.
I just think the second half, I mean, I still think, see, the back, we're missing Shooter and Balligan. Really, that's one of my petty hates. And obviously can't do anything about it. We're definitely missing them. But I'm glad he's playing two up front now. I think that's definitely one for Rangers, because Dessers, I mean, I know a lot of Rangers fans don't like him, but I'm a fan of him. I think he can be a player for us if he's playing two up front. Because I thought Agami didn't score, but his play was unbelievable last night. Some of his touches were brilliant.
Imagine you'd been in taking part in some space travel for the last year or so. And you just came back last midweek.
Watched Dessers two finishes.
Watched Dessers the other night, then on Sunday, and then had people try to convince you that this guy's not a finisher, or, you know, not a good striker. You would be hard pushed to believe them, Roger Hannah. And that's not me saying he doesn't have his faults, and I know he misses chances. But my goodness, those two finishes in the space of a few days.
He is the ultimate enigma, isn't he, in terms of scoring? I mean, you see those two finishes. He made Harry Maguire, who's got 70 caps for England, look a fool.
It's a fantastic take and finish.
I think he's one of these players that the more time you give him for the finish, the less likely he is to finish it. He is a sort of, you know, it's very much down to intuition, if that's the right word, you know, and he's a very instinctive finisher in the box. There's something about him. He's got talent. He scores goals, but he misses an awful lot of chances along the line.
Again, he does, Simon, but to go back to the analogy of people who've just discovered Cyril Dessers, it's not like there's a counter-argument there to say, but that's the only two goals he's scored this season.
His top goal scorer.
He's 18. Yeah. 18 for the season.
I've seen that today.
23 last season.
Can he ever shake off this?
I just think, I've said on the show before, I think there's something there with the guy, but... I think he's taken a lot of stick because Rangers have struggled at times and missing chances. It's magnified his situation. But I've watched him in Europe at times, and the way he can roll it and dummy and get back in and get a shot and goal, there's something there. And the take and finish at Old Trafford the other night is second to none. It's a fantastic goal. He takes his finish yesterday well as well. I just thought at the beginning of his time at Rangers... There was wee bits he was biting back at the fans as well, a wee bit of confidence crisis, possibly, but he scored 18 goals. As you say, 24 last year. Mm-hmm. There's something there with him, but for whatever reason, he's not been given, or he's received a bit of criticism over his time at Rangers off the fans.
How important was the away win, Andy?
Definitely, that was, I mean, especially going 1-0 down. it was absolutely brilliant. I mean, we struggled a wee bit in the first half, but in the second half, I thought some of the football we played was absolutely brilliant. I'm going to the game. I don't go to Ibrox much. My boy got me a ticket for Thursday's game, so I'm going to Ibrox on Thursday for a European game, and I can't wait.
Enjoy it, Andy. What about Rob, who's on the other line? How are you, Rob?
I'm good, guys. How are we?
Not bad. What are you thinking?
Couple of points, to be honest. I know it's been spoken about a lot, but the Diomande situation yesterday, I've only seen it twice live in my life, where the referee has went in the monitor. I'm not into conspiracy and all that. I'm not one of these guys. I kind of try and see things as logical as possible. Second time I've seen it actually happen to Ibrox, I think it was Sheffentes tackle on the boy against Aberdeen for Rangers as well, and the referee went in the monitor and he came back and he upheld. That's, again, I was thinking, was that not Nick Walsh as well?
I think, or was it Don Robertson? I'll double check. But Rob's general point is rare. That's not the only twice, Roger.
No.
I've seen it with Chris Graham did it with Dan Casey a few weeks ago for a very similar, in terms of violent conduct. There was a high profile one in the playoff between Ross County and Partick Thistle, is that right? I'm sure the ref went stuck with his decision in the monitor there. It's rare, but it happens, what would be the word, semi-often? That's probably seldom. Too strong. But I mean, it does happen. But anyway, Rob, you think a mistake yesterday?
No, my point I was going to make on the back of it anyway is, how many times are guys, referees, in this kind of so-called the elite in this country, how many times is it going to happen before there has to be some sort of kind of flag for retraining, demotion, something like that? I know the one, the decision at Hampden as well, where the penalty that wasn't given, where Willie Colm came in and kind of identified points of, I mean, whatever happened to these guys? We're back on the line, we're back doing top flight games not that long ago after it as well. So when's the point, is my question, when is the point where guys are kind of taken away and saying, no, hold on, you're not ready for this level, or go away, you need to do a bit of retraining? In any other line of work, you wouldn't get away with making the same mistakes over and over.
I think that there's a real difficulty with this, Roger, in that it does happen, as Rob's just alluded to. And see, when Chris Graham did that, the Dan Casey incident, he was refereeing Kelty Hearts in League One the following week because he sent Scott Allen off, right? But when it's Motherwell and it's Chris Graham, and nobody really cares, so it's the high profile ones that people focus on. And again, I take Rob's point, but they were back pretty quickly. Fine, but if you keep sacking them all and you think these ones are bad,
you'll have none left.
You don't have any left. So I don't really know. And by the way, again, without, refs have been sort of permanently removed, but what you don't get is you don't get a statement. You don't find it. Do you know what I mean? And again, people in this city are only really interested when it's Celtic and Rangers. So, I, on one hand, totally understand why people want accountability. And Rob's right; you make mistakes in any other job. I still haven't really ever heard what's a realistic solution, though, because if Chris Graham is demoted to League One for a bit. And now he's back. I don't know what else. What do you do?
And I know what you mean, but does demotion make them better? You know, when Chris Graham goes to Kelty Hearts, does he come back to the top flight a better referee? You know, Jack Butland punched one into the net at Old Trafford the other night. Does he get demoted for a couple of weeks and come back as a better goalkeeper? It's difficult decisions for Willie Colm to make, but I think, you know, he's doing it with the best of intentions.
Simon, what's the solution?
I've no idea. As you say, if you keep punishing or demoting referees for every mistake, we end up with very little officials. Mm-hmm. Guys made a mistake, obviously. Well, tomorrow with the appeal probably will confirm that. It's very rare that they go to the VAR screen and don't change their mind. I said earlier in the show, 95 out of 100 maybe. It doesn't happen very often, but he's made a mistake at the end of a game. He's seen something there in the red card. He's meant to be one of your top referees. So I don't know what the solution is. I don't think demoting him is going to get you anywhere.
And I think I'm glad Rob said it, because you can't avoid it now on social media. Rob says, you know, he's not into conspiracy theories. I think VAR's been dreadful it's been a dreadful blow for conspiracy theorists out there, because this notion that referees as a collective are out to get us, referees are out, well, Well, Don Robertson isn't. Don Robertson didn't think it was a red. That's why he called him over to the monitor.
Yeah.
So if there's some big organised Scottish FA led attempt to get Diamandé sent off, well, Don Robertson's not a part of it.
But you're going to say that because you're Willie Collins.
Exactly.
Pal.
And you don't know how high this goes.
Well.
He's actually, and he's through there. He's feeding us this.
Is he got the same jumper on again?
Oh, we promised never to do that again, I have to say. This is mine and mine only. Thank you to Rob for sharing his thoughts this evening. How are you two in this teaser? The Crazy Pony says, Scotland. Can you name the top 9 goal scorers in Scotland's top flight since 97-98 from a non-UEFA country? So like Scott McDonald, Alfredo Morelos, Kyogo.
What, do you know how many goals it's gone? Does it tell you?
Yeah.
What's the lowest, just so I know what I'm aiming for?
This must be league goals, obviously. Yeah, yeah. 28, so it's actually quite low.
28. So, is a man...
No. Because when did he leave? 19...
He was after 97-98.
Yeah, I know, but maybe didn't get quite to 28
in that
time.
What about Cyril Dessers?
No, actually. But you would have thought so, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Good show.
You said nationality, that gives me a clue. Martin Boyle?
Yes.
I know, is he, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Football nationality, that's the way it works, even if Gordon DL tries to ignore it.
Well, just looking at the Maida.
No. Yeah, you've got me a bit worried about these two, I have to say.
Tell me the number again, sorry, Gordon.
I think 28 is the lowest on this list.
28 is the lowest on the list, right, so there's a few won't have hit that.
Claudio, could I never hit 28?
Claudio Caniggia.
In the league. Nope.
No. Juan Sara.
Nope.
We're getting down them now, Simon.
There's another football nationality one that you really have to focus in on.
Uh-huh. Right. Scott Arfield.
Yes. Well done. We'll get the rest, hopefully, when we return.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannah's here, so is Simon Donnelly on 0141 951 1025. We're almost there. It's been a very busy show. Some of this stuff is going to rumble on until tomorrow because the Rangers' appeal will be tomorrow. So there is an absolute cast iron guarantee that in one way this topic comes up again. And then Motherwell, your search for a new manager is on. It's incredible to think, with the team sitting in fifth in the league. I know it's not all that simple, but still a surprise, I think, to everyone hearing that news today about Stuart Kettlewell. So we'll continue. If you couldn't get through tonight, we will get there. Can you name the top 9 scorers in the Scotland's top flight since 97-98 to come from a non-UEFA country? Scott McDonald, Alfredo Morelos, Kyogo, Martin Boyle, Scott Arfield. So football nationality for those two.
I am stumped.
What about Shunsuke Nakamura?
Yes, he's 9th, if you like. So
many has he got?
28. So I double checked for you. Dessers is still 4 away for league goals. Maeda's a bit off as well for just league goals.
Right.
Fabi and Caballero?
No. You're liking this Dundee...
Yeah,
because
South
of all
American,
the,
yeah.
I'd move away from Dundee.
Get away from
move
that.
Away from Dundee.
Yeah, forget Dundee.
What about Kamar Roof?
Forget Kamar Roof.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Danny Invincible.
Yes, Danny Invincible, Australian. Okay,
this is why he's top draw.
Two to get, and hopefully we'll get them before the end of the show. Still time to send us a tweet or give us a call. I'm sure we could squeeze one in. It might have to be fairly quick, but that's fine. Stephen's in shots. How are you, Stephen?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good, Stephen.
Hi, Stephen.
What are you thinking tonight? Stuart Kettlewell, your reaction?
I think it should have went last season after that horrendous run. You got us, didn't he? Fair enough, he should have saved us. He saved us before that. I know, but I think he should have went, so I'm quite glad he has went.
You see that as if that's like a small thing though, Stephen. You know, like fair enough, he kind of turned it around or whatever. But a Motherwell manager's just, we've been saying this in the last few weeks. Everyone can get unhappy, but they're just never going to sack a manager like that, are they? I mean, they finished 9th in the end. Theo Bear's banging them in. Blair Spittle was a joy to watch. The start of Lennon Miller's emergence, you had its bumps. Was it? But was it not a good thing that they stuck by him last season?
Oh, it was. I suppose it did end up that way because we got the money, and the money we will get for Miller eventually. But I just think he never changed. He still tries to play the same football without spittle, without beer, and he's never bought. Good. Even Kofi Bamer's long throw, the best throw probably ever in Scotland. And we never won a header. Even at the Rangers semi-final game, my mum said, "What does he always throw to a Rangers player for?"
Roger, you asked to hear from a Motherwell fan who thought it was right to get rid of Stuart Kettlewell. I mean, I know he quit, but same point still stands. You've heard, Stephen. What do you think?
Stephen, where do you think, in the grand scheme of things, where would you position Motherwell in the top flight? Because at the minute, you're above both Hibs and Hearts. You're in the top six. You've been at Hampden semi-final. Could be European football back at Fir Park next season. Where should Stuart Kettlewell have put Motherwell to win over those doubting fans like yourself?
Just the performances recently. But it just frustrates me. Never changed anything. Like, he kept having the excuse of our top six, but see, after next weekend we'll not be top six. That's a guaranteed. He's running out of excuses and running out of time. He kept me down the list, mentioning the semi-final. They played hopeless in the semi-final against a really, really poor Rangers team.
I think there's always nothing's black and white, Roger. We act like it is.
And
I think Stephen makes some fair points in about the sense that fifth just now, it's what, 6 points above 11th.
Yeah,
right.
Not a lot.
And I think there is a danger, not a guarantee, I think there is a danger Motherwell were on the slide. But still, the question would be, does Stuart Kettlewell deserve, and I know he hasn't been sacked, but in theory, does Stuart Kettlewell deserve the time to find out if it's a slide and if he can be the man to resurrect it? I always go back going,
I remember the night Stephen Hamill left the football club. It was Scottish Cup weekend. I was doing a game at Kilmarnock. I was driving back up the M77 listening to the phone in. Stephen Hamill left the club after a 3-0 defeat to Raith Rovers and with Motherwell bottom of the Premiership. And it looked for all in the world that Motherwell were going to be relegated for the first time in how many years, Gordon? 40?
No, before my... Yeah, this is the 40th year, yeah.
Yeah. And Motherwell were deep, deep in crisis. Tonight, Motherwell aren't deep, deep in crisis.
No.
They're not. It's nothing like it. It's
not even close. This is the thing. Stephen and the other critics might be right. It could turn out to be in the future, but you surely have to wait until you're a bit closer.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have said so. And, you know, football, whether we like it or not, football revolves around money. We've got a television on here and talking about people, you know, £70 million transfers. Football's all about money. And it's all about budgets. And it's all about playing budgets. Motherwell, just because of the size of the club, have a relatively small playing budget. I think it's about 10th, as we said earlier on, 10th in the league. They're punching well above their weight in terms of where they are in the league. You know, a team with a 10th budget shouldn't be getting to cup quarterfinals, let alone cup semi-finals. I think Motherwell, in the last 2 years, really have done well to get to where they are in light of the budget, in light of the injuries that they've had, in light of all manner of things, strikers leaving, etc., etc. I feel really sorry for Stuart Kettlewell, and he'll come back to football and get a very good job somewhere.
Thank you, Stephen. Let's finish the teaser. The top 9 goal scorers in Scotland's top flight since 97-98 who come from a non-UEFA country football nationality. Scott McDonald, Alfredo Morelos, Kyogo, Martin Boyle, Scott Arfield, Danny Invincible, Shinsuke Nakamura, Yadobol.
Jose Katongo?
Nope. Another Australian that you've missed.
Not Jamie McLaren?
No.
Club?
Celtic. Oh, that's why I looked at you and did the old eyebrows.
Rogic.
Yes.
Of course, aye.
Got one, Roger.
Well done.
What about, I'll give you the clubs. Hibs, yeah. Falkirk, Rangers.
Atipi.
Yes. Beautiful. Oh, Simon Donnelly finishing strong. Thank you to Roger Hannah and Simon Donnelly. That's one of the busiest Mondays in Scottish football we've had in a long time. The great thing about this show, we do it all again tomorrow. Thank you for listening. We'll see you at 6 o'clock Tuesday night.